Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hold on. Hold on. Everything stops. First of all, is that real or doctored audio? Did Jeremy Otto just come in here and play a game?
I put in a drop before his update, and it just so happened to fit. So I'm so sorry, Jeremy.
So that's not actually what
that
was said.
That was not said today at the White House. No.
Everything else was said up until the last
part. Until the last
play
part.
Play the last part.
That was not said.
That was not said to
not
say
today.
Not today, no.
Because
honestly, almost with Shaq on Inside the NBA.
Let me clear this up, too. That was not me doing an impression of Donald Trump.
A lot of Americans.
When David first, I was like, wait, is this?
Well, wow. When Jeremy was doing his update, that fit so seamlessly. I almost was Shaq on Inside the NBA. Like, wait, did that actually happen?
I want to put out there that I am scheduled to be in the mornings tomorrow, so that I was not driven.
You will
off
be
the
here.
Show.
It is my fault. I'm so sorry.
Jeremy's wonderful.
All right. Go have fun with the kids at camp.
Wow. David, great audio. That was fun. All right, so listen. Two topics, couple of segments. Focus. All right, to hell with it. Go ahead, hit the button again, will you please? I don't care. All right. So listen. And no, that's not Kenny. So look, two ways to do this. All day, traffic has been great. You guys are into both topics, so we're going to keep it going. One, Pistons, the heartbreak yesterday. Yes, the NBA screwed it up. You got boned on the last call. However, multiple things can be true. The reason you're not going to hear this day part going insane about it is you did everything to lose the game, basically the last 7 minutes of the game. And whether it is not running your offense, worrying about the clock, turnovers, bad shots, rotational NBA players who you require to be high level, not being able to make big shots, looking at you, Malik Beasley. Or the fact that in the final moment of the game, it was Tim Hardaway Jr. shooting the ball. Brunson cooked you again and again and again and again. So here's the question. First of all, there can't be a negative outcome. What the Pistons have accomplished this season is unbelievable. It's one step short of Emilio Estevez being your coach and running the Flying V. You guys have been remarkable. You're just not good enough, and that's okay. Are we all in to get a star this summer? Or do some of you still want to fight? No, we're going to be the bad boys, and we're going to... Guys, I'm just telling you, if you continue to carve that image for yourself, the league's just not going to let you win. Mm-mm. Hate to break it to you. So,
and then you'll wonder why you don't get calls, because this is the path that you chose.
So we're rapping with people about that. The other side, Lions draft. What did you like? What didn't you like? Do you view that? Do you believe you're closer to a Super Bowl after that draft? Or is it more of a roster building draft? Look, I think it's more of the latter because they didn't draft for need. They just added good football players, which I know you're not surprised to hear me say this. That's all Brad Holmes has ever told you. I'm going to take the best players. So my question is, it can be both things. You can say, I like the draft, while saying, I don't think it put us closer to a Super Bowl. Because the truth of the matter is, Tesla probably won't play a lot. One or both of these guards don't play. And your Tyleek Williams in the first round is rotational. Needed, because Aleem won't play, but rotational. So that's kind of the primary fixins mm-hmm. of the draft. Versus if you had traded those picks for veterans, or if you had drafted need positions. Look, I leave that to you guys. Because you and Rico and I have settled on something that I think is more than fair. Brad's ass is in the jackpot.
Mm-hmm.
All the press conferences and the bravado and the pithy remarks. Hey, that's fine. You didn't win a playoff game last year. You go out and do that again this year. That's on you.
Okay.
Or it works. They felt they had a Super Bowl team last year. It got hurt. I think they do reserve the right to run that back one time. We're going to find out.
Right. I mean, the fact Mike Green was sitting there, goes two picks later to Baltimore. So, you know, well, he's got problems. And Baltimore didn't care. They said, you know what? We're trying to win right now. You took two guards. In essence, you could have taken Green and taken the other guard from LSU and kept this thing going. But I have long since said what I like and what Brad Holmes likes comes to the draft are two different things. I let it go because it's almost as if it's spiteful now. I'm going to show you I don't need to ever go get an edge rusher. Ever.
Ever. Ever, ever, ever. 248-539-9797. Whatever way you guys want to go with it, we're here for it. David, a couple of the ticket texts. I'll get to the calls. It's the first time all day, basically, we've had open lines. So if you got something to say on the Pistons or the Lions draft, now would be the time. On your drive home, windows down, enjoying a gorgeous day in Detroit. David, what do people have to say?
I don't care that the Pistons deserve to lose that game. The point is that call caused us to lose the game, and I'm tired of it.
Okay.
That is from Cooper.
Then Cooper, here's the deal. Stop acting like a hard guy and a wannabe tough guy, and we're the boss of the league, and fall in line. You're never getting that call as a villain. You're never getting that call as a tryhard team. And you're sure as hell not going to get that call when your head coach treats the officials like dirt and is on them all game long. Bickerstaff's got to chill. And both things are true. You don't have to like getting screwed by the league. No one said that. But you also should lay blame at your team that shot 7 of 29 from deep, that was down by 16, that had an 11-point fourth quarter lead that they blew. And by the way, for a team that thinks they're Tommy Tough Guy all the time, why is it Brunson cooks your ass like fried eggs every fourth quarter? And don't say, oh, he's an unethical scorer. The guy is hitting daggers. Those aren't the same thing.
And shot zero free throws. Yes, zero. Meaning, he was just making buckets. He wasn't going for the lean in, trying to get the and one. Now, it was a couple times he probably could have gotten an and one. He just said, screw it. I'll just score. I'll keep it moving.
The point is, you have to make a decision as an organization. If you want to start getting, I'll tell you what, kick the ball out to Devin Booker. He gets that call. You know who doesn't get that call? Journeyman, like Tim Hardaway Jr. Is it right? No, but it's real. I choose to live in reality. So this is a big summer for this team. You know what I don't need? I'll tell you the best moment of the game to me. Cade really asserting himself as the alpha of this organization. Taking Ron Holland essentially by the neck and throwing him across the court. When Ron Holland was deciding, hey, I'm beef stew in training. No, you're not. What are you doing? You're over the top of Karl Anthony Towns on the ground, MFing him? Yeah, no, we're not doing that. I'm telling you, the culture's been established. We know you're a tough team. Yeah, you know you're physical. You got to hit the pause button.
It comes from the coach down.
Well, that's where I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Coaches have to evolve. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. You can have a defensive culture like the Celtics, or hell, like OKC. You can play defense. You can be tough. But you can't make this, Detroit. We have to be the bad
Mike.
No, we don't.
You pick your moments. And there are certain moments where Bickerstaff can go nuclear and can go off on the refs. Probably not 30 seconds into the game. Really?
Yeah.
That's not the time. Oh, we need to review this. It's 10-8. If you could come back from being down 10 points, you could overcome two. It's 10A. Review it. Why? Seriously, if I was a ref, why? Why?
Can you imagine if a ref came over? What?
No. I'm saving you from you.
Hey, we
no.
just started, dude.
248-539-9797. Lions draft. Was this? Are you closer to the Super Bowl after this draft? Did you like it? What didn't you like? And the Pistons, let's talk about it. Look, it's been an incredible year. They're not done yet. I'm not bent out of shape. Yeah, you got boned. We talked about why. It's really about this summer. Do you want to push the rev limiter and try to acquire a star and try to move this thing forward? Because I think the Pistons are way closer to being a real threat than maybe some of you do. I really do. I think the East, you're seeing the seeds of change planted. You know, the Celtics are not going to stay together. They can't. I mean, they got like a $400 million tax bill. Damian Lillard just died. Achilles, he might be done. Honestly, at this stage of his career, he may not come back.
And if Giannis, he does, Giannis won't be there.
And Giannis may opt out, right? Philly's a train wreck. Now, I mean, look, I think a team to watch for who, if we were, I mean, God.
I guess watch who gets Cooper Flagg.
No, I was going to say, if thank God, but it, like heaven help me if I were doing radio in Orlando. My point is, Orlando views themselves as you. That's a really good young core. Do you know how many minutes the trio of Jalen Suggs, Franz Wagner, and Paolo Banchero played together this year? 92 minutes. They had. You want to talk injuries? The point is, they believe it's their time. Like, there's an opportunity to take a real step. Mm-hmm. So why? I don't want to wait. Especially if I'm waiting on Asur Thompson's jump shot. Good luck with that. All right, straight to the people. All things are in play. And I'm telling you, at some point this week, we've got to have another conversation about the Tigers. My goodness. You know what? I'm just rolling with it.
Expectations may have changed.
Maybe they're a top three team in the AL. I don't know. It's awesome. Let's go to Ian, 97.1. Ian, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, hey. Sir. What's going on?
So I want to talk about the Lions because I just come away feeling every draft like we don't. Oh, God, I've been so upset all weekend.
All right, here's what I want you to do. Ian, I want you to take a deep breath. We're gonna get through this together. You sound absolutely shattered.
In through the nose, out through the mouth. That's been going through my head all weekend. I just don't okay, so let's take a look at our roster pre-draft. We have Aiden Hutchinson off a broken leg. We have Marcus Davenport, who will almost certainly be hurt by week four. We have Ali McNeil missing probably the first two games of the season, if not more. And we have DJ Reader off of another injury last year as a guy who has been hurt multiple times before he even got here. So is Tyleek Williams going to be the second coming of Aaron Donald? Because if not, then I don't know if that's going to take us where we need to go to replicate what we have last season. And I want to say I do like all of the picks in a vacuum by themselves. I think we got great players at all of the positions that we drafted, you know, positionally on the field, I mean. I just don't understand. Okay, the day two is really what's hurting my head. Because, okay, you trade up two picks to get the guard out of Georgia, Tate Ratledge. Totally fine. But you moved back 100 picks from round four to round seven as that other part of that trade. And then we follow that up in the third round by moving up 32 spots to take a white guy at wide receiver out of Arkansas who had, correct me if I'm wrong, but less than 70 receptions and less than 900 total.
But hold on, couple of notes. Now let me stop you. I want to try to be the voice of reason here.
He's from Michigan.
His race has nothing to do with it. Cooper Kupp is white. He's awesome. But two, Arkansas was a heavy run team who had terrible quarterback play from Talen Green. Boise State transfer. Ian, I'm a loser. I watched a lot of Razorback ball. Cash ticket. The point is, I can't hold the stats against him. Elite RAS score, 6'4", 220. This is the same guy in Brad Holmes who identified a Cooper Kupp or identified an Amon-Ra. I got to be careful going nuts about it, Ian.
No, and that's fair. And like you said, great RAS score. I think he had like a top 15 RAS score of any wide receiver since they started keeping track of RAS score. And I understand that that's, you know, one of the things that you can look at historically and say, this is what Brad Holmes likes. So it wasn't surprising, you know, once I looked at the details, but you gave up two third round picks next year. And all you got in return was a sixth this year and a sixth next year. And when you look at what the draft analysts are saying about the draft next year, it's going to be a much better, much deeper draft. Like guys that have gone in, you know, or, you know, guys that will go in the late second round next year could have gone high first round or mid first round this year. At least that's how I understand it. And then you got to deal with Brad Holmes coming out after night two in his press conference and basically saying, F you, we don't value the edge as much as you guys, you idiots in the media and the fans do. Well, you know what, Brad? Just go ahead and F me now, because this pass rush, provided the guys don't come out, like if Aiden Hutchinson needs a ramp up period and Aleem McNeil is not ready by like week four.
Well, he won't be. I could tell you, if Aleem McNeil's back in week four, you're talking water into wine stuff. I think more people are looking at between Halloween and Thanksgiving, quite honestly.
So then we got an edge rusher in round six. And again, in a vacuum, I think he can be a very good player for us. He's got a high motor, which is another thing that Brad Holmes loves. But there were so many pass rushers available in the first and second rounds, and even the third round.
Look, in that sense, you're right, and it's hard to argue. Did you really need to invest that level of capital in a receiver and avoid, you know, 20 edges? Now, if they identified this kid and they go, look, he's just better than everybody, we're going to wait, we're the smartest guys in the room, we're going to wait and get him, Ian, they better be right. You have several credible points. I'm just telling you, it's all going to come down to if they take a step backward next year, if they don't do anything meaningful, if they, God help them, if they don't win a playoff game, then guess what? Hell's coming. Because all of the receipts are going to get turned. This is why, as a GM, you never should do receipts. Just do your job. And everyone knows you're doing a really good job. But when you start making it you versus media, you versus fans, that's not really a good road to go down. Not if you don't have rings, plural. Hey, you got rings, plural.
Everybody shuts up.
Do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have the rings. We didn't win a playoff game.
Close.
Pistons have more playoff wins than the Lions in the last 12 months.
Factually.
Let's go to Bob. He's an A-squared, 97.1. Bobby, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, Bob. What's going on, pal?
So I want to talk about the Pistons, all right?
And, hold on one second. Bob.
I understand this.
Bob, we can't hear you.
We sound very muffled.
Kenny, check his phone, please, and I'll get back to Bob, okay? I don't want to be rude to Bobby. Let's go to Ron. Hopefully his phone works. Ron, what's going on, pal?
Mike, Rico, how we doing today?
Good, pal. What's on your mind?
Good. A couple things. First thing on the Pistons game, and you know, maybe I see it a little bit differently. I'm a huge MMA boxing fan, and the biggest way, and you know, it obviously stings a little bit more with it being a playoff game. But at the end of the day, you know, you don't want to leave, you know, a close game or a game in the hands of a referee. You know, if we could have did just a little bit more, it wouldn't make a difference. And that's kind of the way I see it from a game standpoint. Obviously, it hurts a little bit more that it's a playoff game. But if we would have just, you know, played the game that we needed to play and win, we wouldn't be bitching or we wouldn't be complaining about a call per se.
No, Rico, I don't know if it was you or somebody else who said it earlier, of like Dana White says it. I mean, don't leave it to the judges.
You can't leave it in the hands of the judges.
Knock them out. You had every ability to knock them out. You were up 11. Knock them out.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then to that second point, too, is I really hope that Za'Darius Smith is in conversations with the Lions at some point, or as has been this entire time, because it was pretty evident that, you know, there was no real sense of urgency on the pass rush position, and that makes me a little nervous.
Okay, I'm at a point now, Ron, if he's not back with this team, then I have no idea what they were doing. Look, the idea of wanting him back cheaper, knowing he wants to be here, knowing this is where he wants to play, he made himself his little fake championship ring and you know, captain's necklace, even though he was neither. He wants to be here.
Right. It almost feels like that a Shedeur Sanders type of thing. Like, we'll pick you up just when we're ready to pick you up. You'll sit there and wait.
That, exactly. Odyssey.com Rewind. You missed anything. A little bit of a programming note. It sounds like, feels like, seems like we're going to carry the Steve Yzerman press conference live tomorrow, right at the start of the show. You'll I'll be down at the world headquarters. I hope we do. And I'm really interested to see both what he has to say and what he gets asked, because I really don't understand any scenario where that should be a friendly press conference. But we'll see. We'll let it play. I think we're going to take it live. I hope we do. I will effort that. David, ticket text coming in, and then Rieger's coming in here.
Brad's mentality is the fans' mentality. We go to the Super Bowl last year. If not for the injuries, to me, it's the wrong approach. He should be going to be even more aggressive. Going 11-6 next year with this schedule would be a great season.
I think it's a little deeper than that. I think they have told you, and Rico, if you disagree, feel free. I think their mission is, we want to be good for a long time, great. You can want that, but you know, the Ravens have been good for a long time. What's it gotten them? Bills have been good for a long time. What's it gotten them? Like, I'd rather be great, win it, and then retool. I don't think you get to be good. I don't think you can be the best version of yourself for a long time. You have to pick.
No, but I think they are tired of the losing, and Lions were synonymous with losers. So now it's like, we're winning. Let's just always keep winning.
Yeah, I think they're seduced by having a waiting list for tickets. Mm-hmm. I think that this is like, ooh, they're like the homeless guy who hits the lottery. They have no idea what the hell they're doing, but they know it's better than what they had. I just feel like it's a little bit of a dangerous game to play, but this will be the year. I think if they falter and they don't perform at a high level, they don't get to an NFC championship game at minimum, oh no, then I think, and you'll be right here to tell me I'm wrong, I think the temperature in this town is going to change big. You will not be able to have these cute little press conferences.
I think the town would give them another year and another year and another year.
Okay.
I don't think so, based on if you pair it with every other team in the division becoming better. If JJ looks decent, which means you can say, oh, wow, okay. If Caleb improves, now you start seeing things Jordan Love. You're like, oh, that would become scary. And I think Lions fans would make it a hint of reality.
See, I think he's risen to the level of Steve Yzerman, where we'll just give you another year. We're not going to hold your feet to the fire. We'll never hold you accountable.
Just looked at the video of Cade throwing Ron Holland off of Cat. About time this team had a real leader again.
I love it. I love it because I warned you in Minnesota. Ron Holland, to me, is picking up some bad habits from Beef Stew. Enough. Stop it. That was ridiculous yesterday. And I'm glad Cade did what he did.
This one's for you, Mike. This came through.
Yeah.
I binge watched the horse racing show on Netflix. It was really good. One thing I got to say, though, is that Kenny McKee, doesn't know how to cook steaks.
It's Kenny McPeak.
That's what he sent in.
Yes. Yeah, it's not Kirk Cousins level malfeasance on the grill with the foil, but I was unimpressed with McPeak's steak setup there. That was not great.
Said he was top of the grill.
David, when you turn the Oaks Derby double, you can cook the steak. Hell, he should have hired someone to cook the steaks. That is a once in two lifetimes accomplishment he pulled off last year. But yeah, not ideal.
Guys, isn't Sabonis just perfect for us? Can shoot, post up, allows versatility, can play either the four or the five, and also helps Cade facilitate.
Two notes. Shot 42% from three. He made almost 60 of them this year. You take a little step forward, I'll drop that to 38% if you make 123s. Here's the other thing. Here's where it stands with Sabonis. He's seeking answers from the Sacramento Kings on the direction of the franchise. And remember, they traded his friend and teammate, De'Aaron Fox. If Sabonis says, I want out, Trajan Langdon should be on the phone in 5 minutes.
Fly out there.
Yeah, whatever you want. Head out on Platinum Equity One.
Right. Call me from the plane. Yeah, I'm already headed there.
I just landed, is what he should say. Right. Just landed at the airport.
I just so happened to be in Sacramento. You know what?
Keep your eye on that situation, though.
Let's have some lunch.
After the playoffs, look, he'll have his meeting with the Kings. And, yeah, I think you could say it. I think Zion is going to get traded. I think Cam Johnson's going to get traded. You know, Trae Young's name continues to float out there, but that has no relevance to us here. But as far as bigs, I think it's Zion, Lauri Markkanen, Sabonis, Cam Johnson, if you wanted it.
And I don't think Cam's the splash move, but Cam's the guy I wanted in free agency.
Right.
Shoots 40% from deep, averaged almost 20. The increased volume didn't hurt his percentages. He's a damn good ball player.
What's up, boys?
Hi. What's going on?
I got to tell you, second day in a row, I love the addition of Donald Cott.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Kenny no longer speaks to us in normal tone.
Go ahead. Let me hear it.
No.
Just say, hey, how are you?
No.
Jeff, how are you doing?
It doesn't work that way. Stop.
Come on.
He's not a wind-up toy. It has to be organic.
I need every day for you guys to get this sponsor. Do Donald Cott doing the Tigers lineup every day.
No.
He's about to go very fast.
Tomorrow, 2 p.m., we carrying this thing?
Oh, we are, yeah. I'll be down there tomorrow. What do you want me to ask Stevie? Go ahead.
Why do you have an effing job? No,
Me or him?
No.
Oh, him. Okay, I got you.
Jeff, I don't know that anything... You're the best at it. You've done it for so long. You provide an invaluable resource that you don't care what people say. You just ask questions. I think reality would be, do you feel a pressure that it is now or never?
Yeah.
That if you don't make the playoffs this year, you shouldn't have a job.
Okay, here's what you could tell me if this is fair game. Here's what I've been thinking about. The first question that I wanted to ask was, and I'm truly curious how he would feel about it. How does it make him feel watching that electric crowd at LCA for Pistons games when we have yet to experience one for a Red Wing game? I truly want to know how much that drives him nuts.
He'll never give you the answer. He'll never give you the answer.
I mean, maybe he breaks down and says, yeah, it pisses me off. I mean, this thing should be better, but it's going
to
be interesting.
How do you improve from the 6 years you've been here until next year to get to the playoffs?
Yeah.
Or was that too hard of a question?
Mitch Marner, pipe dream or reality?
Stevie, coming up?
What do you think?
What's coming up next?
We're going to talk Pistons. We're going to talk about the screw job. We're going to talk about the Lions draft. We'll get you up to Tiger baseball. Tigers and AJ back in Houston.
I am now referring to them as top three American League team, Detroit Tigers.
Well, they're number one, Mike.
No. I'm not ready to give them that crown.
We're not ready to go World Series contender?
Do you realize which one of these things are the most impressive to you? Very quickly. Okay, first place in the American League and one game away from being the best record in baseball or the best ERA in the American League or the best run prevention team in the American League.
I was going to say run differential.
Oh, I forgot about run differential.
Like, you remember last year, their run differential was fake as hell.
Yeah.
This ain't fake.
Yeah, plus 42.
It's super legit. I think, how about this? It's all impressive, and I'm not interested in arguing.
Javier Bayes out in center field.
No, that's the craziest thing. Like, all of a sudden, they play great defense. Rico, remember, Mike was on vacation. You and I did that show. It was opening day, and I was having a hissy fit because Ryan Kreidler was the center fielder.
Mm-hmm. Well, then they had the series in Seattle. They butchered the ball all over the field.
Colt Keith and Ryan Kreidler. Ever since then, really?
And now we got the starting center fielder for the American League.
Okay, we're done.
In the All-Star game.
We'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
Bayes?
Javier Bayes.
Javier Bayes, yeah.
I'm done.